Good morning. It's March 21st, and this is your daily brief in EU news. Here's everything you need to know. In a move that straddles the line between support and self-preservation, EU lawmakers have agreed to extend Ukraine's duty-free import of agricultural goods for another year, albeit with new caps on certain products. This decision reflects the complex interplay of international solidarity and domestic pressures within the European Union. Amidst the backdrop of ongoing conflict, the EU's gesture of extending duty-free imports from Ukraine is aimed at bolstering the war-torn country's economy. However, this comes with a twist. The introduction of caps on specific products, a response to the rising discontent among EU farmers. These farmers have voiced concerns over unfair competition, fearing that the influx of Ukrainian agricultural products could saturate the market and lower prices. In particular, products such as eggs, poultry, and sugar have been pinpointed for an emergency brake mechanism, designed to limit imports if necessary. This proposal has ignited a debate about the potential repercussions for the trade of staple crops like wheat and barley, highlighting the delicate balance the EU is attempting to maintain between supporting Ukraine and protecting its own agricultural sector. The decision, however, has not been free from criticism. Some see it as the EU prioritising its own interests at a time when unity and support for Ukraine are paramount. As the agreement awaits final approval from EU member states and the European Parliament, the EU is keen to implement the emergency brake mechanism before the upcoming European elections, signalling the urgency and complexity of the situation. In a move that has escalated tensions in the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has initiated a ground offensive in Rafah, located in southern Gaza. This action comes in defiance of warnings issued by human rights organizations concerning the potential for increased civilian casualties. The offensive is not limited to military targets, but also includes strikes on refugee camps and the Al-Shifa hospital, raising serious international concerns over the humanitarian impact. In response to the growing international outcry, including concerns voiced by President Joe Biden, Israel has agreed to send a delegation to Washington. The aim is to explore possible alternatives to the ground offensive, signalling an openness to diplomatic discussions amidst the ongoing conflict. However, ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas have hit a standstill, with both parties unable to reach a consensus, leaving the region in a precarious state of continued violence. Amidst this turmoil, the World Health Organization has released a report detailing attacks on healthcare facilities in Gaza, underscoring the conflict's dire impact on civilian infrastructure and healthcare services. In a gesture of support, Saudi Arabia has extended financial aid to UNRWA for Palestinian refugees, while the European Union has unequivocally called for an immediate ceasefire, emphasising the urgent need for peace and stability in the region. The conflict has exacted a heavy toll, with over 31,000 Palestinians reported killed and 74,000 injured in Israeli attacks since the onset of hostilities. The situation remains dire, with the violence showing no signs of abating. In a significant move reflecting the international community's growing concern, Canada has halted weapon exports to Israel, marking a stance against the continuing escalation of the conflict. As the digital age accelerates, a new United Nations report, the Global E-Waste Monitor, unveils a pressing environmental challenge, a significant increase in global electronic waste. With 62 million tonnes produced in 2022 and an expected surge to 82 million tonnes by 2030, the planet faces a growing crisis of sustainability and resource management. The report reveals a concerning trend. Only 22.3% of electronic waste was properly collected and recycled in 2022. This starkly contrasts with the rapid pace at which electronic waste is being generated, highlighting a global lag in recycling efforts. Contributing to this issue are design choices in electronics, such as the preference for glue over screws, which make repairs and recycling more difficult. A lack of awareness about how to properly dispose of electronic waste, coupled with data privacy concerns, has led to reluctance in recycling old devices. This behaviour not only exacerbates the e-waste problem, but also overlooks the potential recovery of valuable resources. The report points out regional disparities, with Europe leading in e-waste production per capita and recycling rates, whereas Africa produces the least waste but also has the lowest recycling rates. The Global E-Waste Monitor emphasises the urgent need for better waste management and increased awareness. This call to action is especially relevant as the world strives to connect the remaining third of its population to the internet, a move that will undoubtedly increase the demand for electronic devices and, consequently, electronic waste. The report underscores the critical intersection of digitalization and sustainability, urging global efforts to address the mounting e-waste challenge. At the heart of Europe, a bold stance emerges as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz doubles down on his commitment to Ukraine amidst the ongoing conflict, making waves at the recent EU summit in Brussels. Scholz's refusal to accept what he terms dictatorial peace sets a tone of unwavering support for Ukraine, marking a significant moment in European politics. Amidst the backdrop of a continent grappling with the complexities of war and diplomacy, Scholz announced a ramp-up in EU support for Ukraine. This includes not just the purchase of weapons, but also the innovative use of frozen Russian assets to bolster Ukraine's defence capabilities. It's a move that signals a deepening of the EU's involvement in the conflict, aligning with Scholz's vision of a strong and resolute response. The story, however, is not without its internal conflicts. Germany's political landscape is marked by debates within Scholz's own coalition, particularly around the speed and extent of support for Ukraine. Defence Minister Boris Pistorius and SPD's Rolf Mitsenich find themselves at odds, with opposition leader Friedrich Merz also chiming in with critical questions. These debates underscore the challenges Scholz faces not just on the international stage, but within his own ranks. Adding another layer to this complex situation, EU Foreign Minister Josep Borrell is eyeing a bold proposal. He plans to suggest reallocating at least €3 billion a year from frozen Russian funds to meet Ukraine's military needs. It's a significant financial commitment that could have a profound impact on the conflict's dynamics. Despite the internal wrangling and debates, Scholz's steadfast stance at the Brussels summit has cast him in a light of determination and leadership. His actions and words there have not only reaffirmed Germany's commitment to Ukraine, but also positioned Scholz as a composed and resolute figure on the international stage, navigating through the intricacies of coalition politics and geopolitical tensions with a clear vision for Europe's role in supporting Ukraine. As the countdown to the Paris 2024 Olympics ticks on, the sporting world turns its gaze to the highly anticipated basketball schedule and the intriguing football tournament draws. This year, the stakes are high, and the matchups promise intense competition and potentially historic moments. In the men's football arena, France, under the guidance of Thierry Henry and possibly featuring star player Kylian Mbappe, finds itself in a favourable position to advance, thanks to a kind group draw. This optimism is contrasted sharply in the women's tournament, where the draw has placed France against the formidable reigning champions, Canada. Moreover, a group of death featuring heavyweights the USA, Germany, and Australia sets the stage for epic battles. The USA and Germany, with their storied Olympic football history, and Australia's Matildas, hungry for their first Olympic medal after a near miss in Tokyo, highlight the depth of talent and competition. The men's tournament introduces a youth-centric rule, allowing only players born after January 1, 2001, with the exception of three overage players per team. This rule adds a layer of strategy and future-focused talent development. The women's tournament, kicking off on July 25th and culminating at the iconic Parc des Princes in Paris on August 10th, promises a fierce contest right from the group stage, with only the top two teams from each group advancing to the quarter-finals. This year's tournament will miss the presence of Brazil and Germany, marking a significant shift in the competitive landscape, especially noting Germany's absence for the first time since 2012. The tournaments, spread across seven cities in France, not only highlight the country's footballing infrastructure, but also set the stage for the Matildas and other teams to showcase their talent, informed by performances in upcoming friendlies. With the world watching, the Paris 2024 Olympics football tournaments are shaping up to be a showcase of emerging talents, strategic plays, and potentially history-making moments. The stage is set for a spectacular display of footballing prowess across France. This has been your daily brief in EU news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.